Welcome to Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brendan Strange alongside Charlie Polillo and Sports Talk 790's Josh Jordan. You can follow them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan SCS. On today's episode, if you're listening to this show, there's a non-zero percent chance you could pitch for the Astros soon. Astros players and games are dropping like flies. Hopefully the guys on the panel can convince me that drinking is not the answer as Houston flies to the Pacific Northwest to match up against the Mariners team, who's also headed in the wrong direction in the standings. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. You guys remember that Boston series? Man, what a ride that was. And I seriously hope that wasn't the peak of the season, as the Astros are facing some tough realities as it stands. Hunter Brown diagnosed with that grade 2 shoulder strain that has him shelved for the foreseeable future. Not to be outdone, Christian Javier goes down in Wednesday's game with a shoulder issue of his own, along with Jake Myers, who goes down with back tightness. A lot to talk about, but let's start with pitching, because it quickly became a concern once Brown went into the IL, but the entire staff is leaking oil now, having given up 46 runs over the past two legs of the road trip. I had to double check my math, 46 runs over the first two series of the roadie. How do you think Dana Brown and Joe Espada navigate this challenging time?
And some people think I'm not positive enough. Look, sometimes the truth hurts, and it whacked the Astros over the head with a 2x4. Understandably, breathlessly, teams are going to promote positive information. The Astros have scored more runs than anyone else in baseball. Well, through 13 games, they've scored 79 runs. They've given up 78. They're not going to trumpet that they have the worst pitching staff in baseball, other than the Washington Nationals, who've given up 78 runs in 12 games played. The biggest downer of it all by far is Hunter Brown. What's our working definition of a few? Right, he won't throw for a few weeks. A couple is two. Several is more than a few, right? Is a few three? Or is that just the opening ante? And we're talking 4 to 6 weeks. And he's going to be gone long enough that presumably Hunter Brown's basically going to restart spring training for himself. So from whenever he starts throwing, you're looking at 3-4 weeks after that. Christian Javier, gallows humor, addition by subtraction. It's not like he was off to an excellent start in his third outing of the season. But to see him off one warm-up pitch in the second inning, yeah, I can't go. And that's not even getting to the Jake Myers injury, so the lineup could get involved. Well, Carlos Correa was ill. Was he just sick to his stomach from having to watch the series that he missed the last two games? You know, Monday night, when they at least scored, or gave up 9, but scored 7, that was after Abreu gave up the Sacramento game, the 12-10 loss on Sunday. So they scored 10 in a loss Sunday, then 7 in a loss Monday. Hey, let's put it up for bid. Guess the last year the Astros played and lost consecutive games in which they scored at least 7 runs. Throw a year out there, just for you know what and giggles.
03?
Earlier than that or more recently than that, Josh?
2019.
2014. They lost back-to-back games at then Minute Maid Park, 9-8 and 8-7 to the Seattle Mariners. 2014 was the last season the Astros stunk, right? They went 70-92 that year, and then 2015 got the wild card, and we know what the rest of the decade following that covered. But it was a real valley. Fortunately, as you alluded to, the Mariners blow so far as well. Texas Rangers can't score, but they go to the weekend in first place because, well, they're over 500, and that's something no one else in the division can say. The pitching staff is in tatters just as they start 13 games in 13 days with the Mariners, or against the Mariners, the first 4 of those 13 games on Friday night.
Yeah, it's not looking good. Second worst ERA in baseball. Brian Abreu's given up a run in every single appearance. I mean, it's bad. And then you throw the injuries on top of this. Dana Brown, he said before the season, oh, that's the great thing about starting pitching. It really brings down your blood pressure. I wonder how that blood pressure's feeling right now for Dana. Somebody might want to check on him because this is terrifying. They're just going to have to go to Sugarland. I think it's foregone conclusion. We're going to see Spencer Arrighetti pretty quick. Now, he only gave up one hit in his two appearances so far in spring for Sugarland, but walking a whole bunch of guys, and that's one of the things that's just killing this Astros team. It's one thing to just get ripped all over the yard, but to walk two guys before you do it, that's just absolutely every single game. It's same deal. So I don't know if there are really any answers here. They're just going to have to push through this. Like you guys mentioned, the Mariners aren't playing well either. So that's something that you can look to, like, hey, maybe we'll do okay. But as we preview the series, they have a lot of their good arms that the Astros are going to have to face. So this is going to be tough. And with Jake Myers, Taylor Trammell, it looks like he's going to be the guy that's brought back. So the Astros will have him, but we know his whole career in the big leagues, it's never worked out for him. So expecting anything now, I think, is just silly. Some of the positives, at least Cam Smith is showing you some things you were hoping. And I mean, most of the offense as a whole has been pretty good, or more than pretty good. They, for a while, they were first in every meaningful offensive category, and they're still near the top. But the pitching, it's a disaster. You can't give up 7 runs almost every night and expect to win a ball game. And you can't have who your closer every time he comes in, he gives up runs. It's just not sustainable. This is going to be a tough stretch for the Astros.
At the same time, they would have had to throw a shutout to win either Tuesday or Wednesday in Colorado with 1 run in each game, right? The greatest offensive environment in the history of the sport. And the Astros went fetal position and looked like last year's offense all too often. But that's going to happen. I mean, not specifically in Colorado as it did in this series, but we're still very small sample size, a little less small by the day, but we're not even through the first inning of the season, right? 10% of the season has yet to be played. Hance Abreu, an unrelenting disaster on the mound. It's a 5-outing stretch. Has he completely lost it at 28 years old? One wouldn't think. AJ Bluebaugh, who had been an early shining light, complete implosion, back-to-back outings. He's been scored upon in 4 of his 6 outings, 9 runs, I think, over his last 2 times out. But it starts with the starting pitching. Emi, McCullers, and Burrows are still standing. Cody Bolton's going to get a follow-up start against the Mariners after taking it into the 5th, at least in the game the Astros won in Colorado. They're going 6-man rotation, right? So Arrighetti's 1. Jason Alexander, who really had a fluky couple of months in all likelihood last season, he had a 7-inning scoreless outing at AAA the other night. So I imagine he's the 6th guy, unless they're going to ramp up Ryan Weiss, who was left in to get strafed in that game Monday night, I guess it was. So, you know, just as the fact that they won the last 5 games of the homestand did not mean that the Astros were about to run roughshod over the American League West and they were reclaiming the throne, the fact that the road trip is just catastrophic to this point in results, and then you throw the injuries on top of it, 1-5 going to Seattle, it doesn't mean this team sucks. There is some suck potential, but you know what? Tell that to Mariners fans.
If I can add some trivia to it as well, first sweep at the hand of the Rockies since 2012. I think they were in the National League at that point. And like you said, Charlie, I guess silver lining is that Jason Alexander did look good, had one of the best pitching performances in Sugarland history in his last start. So maybe he's finding his groove again. But man, if it were just the starters, that'd be one thing. But as we've discussed, it's just the pins getting knocked around too. I don't think this staff is as bad as we've seen over the past week, but it does bring some harsh realities about what this team is capable of, both in ceiling and floor.
There is a little bit of gravitational pull toward the middle on this. The Astros offense overall, hey, 6 runs per game. Astros pitching, bleh, giving up 6 runs per game. But these last 2 series, Sacramento, fabulous hitting environment. Colorado, as I said, the greatest hitting environment in the history of baseball. So the Astros offense is not as good as the overall statistics would indicate to this point in the season it is. And the pitching can't possibly, right, be as bad as the statistics would indicate to this point in the season, because they're not going to play nearly half their games in Colorado and West Sacramento. But what, the bullpen ERA on the road thus far is in double digits? Over 10? That's not sustainable, even if they tried. But we do mention the Colorado Rockies went 43-119 last season. They swept one series all 2025, the Marlins. They got the Astros. They did take a series from the Blue Jays a couple weeks ago, too.
The pitching's one thing, but you can't give I don't even care if it's a quality big league team. You can't give them extra outs. Yiner Diaz with the pop-up in the infield against the A's. Jeremy Pena the other night going the wrong way on a ground ball and then making an error after that that led to Ryan Weiss having to be in there forever. And the Pena error, or I don't, you can't even call the first one an error, but his struggles came after Correa made an incredible play against the net to get a much needed out right there. Yeah. Looks like you were going to get out of the inning, and then Pena struggles, and you can't do that. The defense and Jake Meyers dropping that pop up against the A's, that was tough too. It wasn't the easiest play in the world, but we've seen him make plays like that. So that's a big part of it. And I think the decision not to start Ryan Weiss, if you knew you were going to use him in that game, he's much more comfortable as a starter. I know Bolton ended up doing a good job, but Weiss, he came in with traffic, not just as a reliever. And that just didn't make sense to me. I know that the player shouldn't call their shot, but that's been working for him the last few years. That's the way he's been comfortable. And you went oppo that in that situation, and it ended up burning you.
And Joe Espada displaying a little early season tension when asked about the Weiss-Bolton thing Monday night. He bristled a little in responding to that. And then Wednesday, hey, not that he should be happy-go-lucky playing garbage baseball for a week now, but Wednesday he was terse in response to everything after that debacle against the Rockies.
But guys, how many times have we talked about on this show how Joe Espada just gets a little bit greedy when a guy is going well? He just tries to squeeze one more inning out of him. And I just think the benefit out of that, you could have had Bolton leave that game feeling good about himself, and you give Weiss the chance to start with a clean slate. No one came out of that game feeling good about themselves. Just a questionable decision at the time, and I know it's easy to play armchair manager after the fact, but in the moment, I just really felt like that just was not the move, and it bore out that way. I do want to dig more into the offense, but before we do, I just want to take a quick minute for Nat Latman at StoneColdCruise.com. You guys see the graphics on the screen, and you've heard me talk about them for weeks now. Nat works with cruise planners, and as such, he is a bona fide cruise guru. He can help you with more than just cruises, but let's be honest, bang for your buck, there are few vacation options more budget-friendly and comprehensive than a cruise, whether it's something as simple as a Caribbean cruise, sailing out of Galveston, or an airfare cruise package combo to sail on the Norwegian Bliss to go see Alaska, or even a riverboat cruise. You really can't go wrong. The best part is Nat Service is 100% free, and his software finds all the best deals even after you book, which is where his low price guarantee comes in, because if the cost of your trip goes down after you book, your price automatically gets adjusted, and he can give you all the details to that. But just to get started, head over to StoneColdCruise.com right now. That takes you to Nat's page. Fill out the form, tell him what you're interested in, what your budget is, and he can cater a trip that's just right for you. You can also call him or Jenny at 281-892-1150. Make sure you tell him you heard about it on Stone Cold Stros. All right, so let's talk about the offense. Houston went into Colorado as one of the league's best offenses in the early season, but the ghosts of offensive past reared their ugly head in the final two games against the Rockies. Not helping matters was, as we talked about, Correa fighting that illness and now being down their starting center fielder. But having now seen both Jekyll and Hyde this season, I wonder, between you two guys, who do you think this offense really is? Are they the team that's going to get the contributions up and down the lineup with a masher in the two spot? Or are they maybe a little closer to that free-swinging four-pitch inning team that we saw in Colorado?
Ah, the truth lies somewhere in between. Which side of the middle do they fall on? I think they can be above average with a healthy Yordan for basically full season's workload of games. But how about that? On top of all their other woes, Yordan, beyond white hot going into that series, and he goes 1 for mile high, a dinky little single in 11 at-bats, and that was it. They obviously need him to perform at a slugger's MVP-type level. We know he has that in them. But Altuve is not going to hit 325. Christian Walker is not going to hit the 320. I mean, those three guys all with OPSs over 1,000, And they are at six runs per game because, hey, you have 10 in one and you have nine in another. That averages out the relapse to one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday. I think it's four of their first 13 games that they've scored three or fewer runs. That's just under one third of the games. Hey, last year, just over half the games, they failed to score four runs. Paredes, a little sluggish start. You throw in the bereavement leave. You hope that he hits his stride. Jeremy Peña has not been very good so far. And look, he was fantastic last season, before the injuries anyway. And it's not like he got much bigger this offseason versus last offseason. But I wonder if he's a little too muscular at this point. I don't know. You try to read into things sometimes when it's just not going well. But it's still early. It's still early. And Peña, for the first time, started three consecutive games. So you hope Peña, Paredes find their stride. And when Altuve and Walker level off, you hope it's at a pretty good level and not dropping down to where they were last year.
It shouldn't matter, but it kind of does. When you're down 7-1 in the third inning, it does take a toll on you as a player. You basically, we already lost the game, and you go up there and you do the best you can. But it just mentally, when you know you're getting your ass kicked and the game's a blowout, a lot of times you don't produce at the highest possible level. So I think that's part of it. And it gets you down. Every relief pitcher you throw out there, they walk two guys and then give up a big hit, and all these innings take forever and you're out there on defense for so long. It's all these things work together. So I think the offense is, I would have said probably middle of the pack before the season started, but I think they're going to be a little better than that. I agree with Charlie. You're going to see some fall off from Altuve and Walker and Yordan. They're not going to keep that up, but I think some of these other guys will play better. But I think Cam Smith's a big part of it. He's got three home runs already. He hit that huge tank home run there in Colorado. So if he comes on, that's a big piece to the lineup where it lengthens it a little bit more for you. I don't expect a whole lot from the bottom of the order. Lo Perfido was really hot, and he's starting to cool off a little bit. But I think they'll be okay. It's the pitching that's my biggest concern right now. Injuries and performance.
Yeah, look, Yordan's going to have skids. And obviously, it was nice to see him break out of that over 10 with the single. But you have higher expectations with him going into the high altitude like that. We still have yet to see the infield surplus, given that Peña, Paredes, and Correa have all missed time now. So I guess that depth really did help. But on top of that, the bases loaded bugaboo just continues to rear its ugly head. Even when the offense was hot, they were stranding them loaded, which is fine when you're scoring like seven a game. But when you're scoring one a game over your past two, and I know it's a small sample size, but you just have to make more of those opportunities. And too often, it's just been guys being overly aggressive and not really doing the things that were so productive for them during the homestand. So that's why I wanted to bring this up, because it's really interesting to see. Obviously, Walker has been great. Altuve continues to have productive at-bats. Josh, you mentioned it, Cam Smith's been able to work some walks and get some home runs. But it really just makes you wonder, who is this team? Because I'm just so PTSD from having watched this team last season. You know, you got a pitcher, a reliever who's struggling, or a starter who has a long inning. You go out there with your bats and you're not protecting him. Three pitches and you're two outs in the inning already. So it's got to be a complimentary game. If you know you're pitching struggling, then you got to go out there and do your best to make the most of your at-bats and at least make the other guys work too. Now, Houston heads to Seattle to face the Mariners. As we've mentioned, a team that's in the midst of their own skid. At this one, it seems like early on, an unstoppable force versus immovable object situation here. But which team do you think gets well against the other?
Well, I know the Mariners are running out starting pitching every game that you say, okay, the expectation is he'll be pretty good to good. Emerson Hancock, a prospect who's been sidelined by injuries and just really brought it over the last couple of years, off to an excellent start. He goes in the opener. Then it's Luis Castillo, Logan Gilbert, George Kirby. The Astros are Tatsuya Imai, Lance McCullers, and then probably Bolton and Burrows, unless they want to drop Arrigetti in before that in the Sunday game. But to invert the saying you invoke there, Brandon, this is the resistible force, the Mariners offense, against the extremely movable object, the Astros pitching staff. The Mariners got swept in Texas They lost the games 2-1, 3-2, and 3-0. So their pitching was good enough to sweep. They got swept because they totaled 3 runs in 3 games. And it's still early. It's still early. It's still early. Less early by the day. I mean, Julio Rodriguez, even by his normal anemic early season standards, come on. Cal Raleigh and Julio Rodriguez are each 7-49. That's a 143 batting average. Josh Naylor says, hold my Starbucks. He's 5-48, batting 104. Those are the 2, 3, and 4 hitters in the Mariners lineup. Raleigh finally hit his first homer of the season the other night. Julio, Zippo, Naylor doesn't even have an extra base hit so far this season. So the Mariners are waiting to break out. You go with career pedigree, but their offense has been worse than pitiful to this point. But can the Astros get anyone out over a majority of games? This will be a 4-game series. So the best guess is a split.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for, at least. The problem is, even if you get something from Emi and Burrows, I mean, his ERA is over 5, but I'm not complaining because at least he's plans on pitching in his next start. And he hasn't been terrible. He's had some bad luck, giving up some long balls, but at least you feel okay with him going. Once you get to this bullpen, yikes. And the one you're worried the most about is Abreu. I mean, his ERA is almost 20. Yeah, that's right, 20. So even if you have a lead, you're not going to feel very good about it. And I don't know, maybe Eniel De Los Santos has looked okay. Some of these guys have looked okay. Brian King has been pretty consistent since he's joined the team. You just really need Sousa and Hader to get back in a hurry. But yeah, for this series, that's what worries me so much. And Blue Ball now, we thought that was somebody we could kind of count on. And now him and Weiss look like big question marks. So I'm wondering if they're not done dipping down into Sugarland. Maybe it's even Colton Gordon. And you mentioned Alexander earlier. They do have some arms down there, but none of these guys, and JP France has actually been okay, but we know these guys don't really have that quality big league stuff. They manage to get you through some innings, but that's about it. Luckily, they are playing a bad offense, so maybe that'll come in handy, but it's going to be tough. They need to find a way to split this series and get healthy.
An extremely faint silver lining. Brian Abreu lowered that ERA Wednesday, giving up 1 run in 1 inning, dropped it down to 19.64. The ballpark factor, though, pretty much 180s after the series in Sacramento and in Denver. Seattle is one of the most difficult home run parks in the game, which made it that much more incredible that Cal Raleigh hit his 60 last year. But if there are dingers flying out left and right, it'll mean hitters got hot or the pitching has just been horrible again.
Yeah, and it just goes to show you, as far as the arms go, that quantity does not always trump quality. We felt pretty good about this team's pitching staff going into the season, but how quickly it has fallen off. Through this series, the starting pitching really has to eat some innings and take some relief off of the bullpen. And likewise, the bullpen's going to need to be able to not melt down immediately. Otherwise, this is going to get ugly in a hurry. Final thoughts before we're out the door.
Yeah, 13 games in 13 days. Astros open the series, record of 6-7. The Mariners are 4-9. The Astros go on to win 90 games and make the playoffs, or conversely, lose 90 games and heads are rolling. They're going to have stretches, obviously, where they go 6-7. The Mariners, worse, at 4-9. There will be teams that have good seasons that have a stretch where they lose 9 out of 13 games. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater just yet. I will say, a little bit of a referendum on Houston, the baseball city. If people are looking to spit the bit so soon, if you're going to continually measure this team against 101, 103, 107, 109 win Astros clubs, well, of course, you're going to be disappointed, if not outright furious. I don't know if this is inside baseball, but our last episode, I think, had its lowest consumption in like a year and a half. Is Houston tuning out on this baseball season before we've even really settled into it?
I certainly hope not, but they haven't seen something like this. You could argue they're the worst pitching staff in all of baseball. The numbers basically tell you that right now. They've relied on great pitching, and now you roll the dice on letting Fromber leave And then Hunter Brown gets hurt after two starts. Uh-oh, now you need to go to a six-man rotation. Not only do you have to add a sixth starter, oh, you lost Hunter Brown. Oh, you lost Christian Javier too. It's tough, and you still don't have Hader. They're just, they need to get healthy in a hurry. With, I know I said that, but it's so important because I just don't see much help coming unless guys are just getting back in there, guys that are proven and true. We know the farm system doesn't have a whole lot of guys stocked and ready to come up in here, so they're going to have to figure this out themselves. I think Burrows and Emi, and now, like, McCullers was your fifth starter. Now you're kind of counting on him being good. This is a tricky spot to be in.
Yeah, and all that makes Hunter Brown's absence for however long it is the overarching biggest problem of the batch. And when you have your own lawn and garden to tend to, I guess don't be worrying about others. But hey, at least Fromber gave up six runs in the first inning Wednesday night after two sterling starts to begin his Tigers career.
I'll dovetail off of what you brought up, Charlie, and just take the opportunity to shamelessly blow some smoke at our audience. It can't all be sunshine and rainbows through the season, the same way it can't all be McCullers going seven innings deep with throwback performances around the diamond. It's not fun to consume content when the hometown team is struggling. So if you're watching this, you're the real MVP, and we really do appreciate our audience. One last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcast apps like Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. Thanks for listening. And as always, go Stros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.